For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, February the 26th, 2000. Ladies' Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the speaker of the afternoon. Mildred and her husband have been coming here for many long years helping us. And she's carrying on by herself with Jesus' help. Amen. Every day. But they both ministered and helped us here and have helped us here for a long, long time. And it's just a privilege for her to come and teach this afternoon. And you'll be blessed and you'll be helped. So, Mildred, come and let me go sit down. I'm not supposed to be up here anyway.
Praise the Lord. The enemy's tried his best to keep me from coming, and he's worked a lot, but you know what? The greater one lives within me. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Amen?
I tell you.
It was a battle. We were talking about it. There's a battle to get here and a battle all week to get ready to come. And I told the ladies this morning how the Lord healed me yesterday morning. I mean, he healed me from whatever that was. I waked up, some of you weren't here, I waked up with this big old knot in my side, and the pain was really bad. And I thought, well, Lord, what's going on? You know, I'm packed and ready to go to the Hot Springs, and I was supposed to leave at 8 o'clock. I was going to leave no later than 8:30, and I was in a lot of pain. And so I broke curses. I always go out to witchcraft first. And I broke witchcraft curses, and then went after pain. I was binding the pain and calling it out of me. And it subsided a little bit, and I thought, well, I've got to get back in the bed again. I crawled back in there. This is about 3 o'clock. And then it got worse after I got back in the bed. So I got up, and I was walking the floor and binding and praying. And so finally I called Charlotte. She was coming with me. And I said, Charlotte, let's postpone this to about 9 o'clock. She said, are you all right? I said, oh, yeah. And I'll be okay. And so I went back to praying. And I curled up on my couch. And I had bound and loose and broke and sent out and everything I could think of. And I said, okay, Lord, I've done all I know doing that. If you want me to go to Hot Springs, you got to take care of this. Because there's nothing else I can do. And the devil said, oh, go back to sleep and forget it. And I was really, you know, wanting to go back to sleep because I hadn't slept very much. But, you know, just instantly like that, that just lifted off me. I literally felt that spirit rise and leave. And it was really something. I had gotten nauseated, and the pain was excruciating. And the devil kept saying, you got to go to the doctor. You know, and I thought, oh, well, my husband, I know where he is. And if I'm going to go, Lord, I'm not going to no doctor. So praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful. I got to pull off this sweater side of here. He is faithful. And I praise the Lord that he did just totally heal me. What I liked about the whole thing was that I felt that spirit leave. It just left. I just literally felt that thing take off. So I praise the Lord. I'm going to share this afternoon on something that's not new. And we've heard it before, but the Lord instructed me over a month ago that when the ladies came together, that I was to teach on incest, child abuse, and some other things that he's given me. Because there are many hurting people that have been abused, sexually abused. And many times when we're over here, we do not always get to minister to everyone. That it really hurts me when I'm here ministering and someone leaves that's hurting, and we don't get to help them. And so this afternoon we're going to spend some time on these subjects. I'm going to touch on abortion. We prayed some this morning over some of this. There was a lot of deliverance here this morning. But I was telling the ladies that's what I was going to share this afternoon, and we did some praying over some, and so we're going to do some more. You know, I have dealt with ladies for the last 20 years, ministering deliverance to them, and 9 out of 10 that I pray for have been abused sexually. And, you know, it's it is so in people. It's been pushed down and buried down in people without getting rid of it. So it still causes them problems. And the thing that I see is, as we run into this is curses from this that are passed on to the children because they're not taken care of when it happens. You know, the Word tells us the sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. And over in Ezekiel, it says the daughter is walking in the mother's sins. And that's true. You hear very seldom hear any teaching on the sins of the mothers. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard anyone teach on it. But the Lord has shown me a couple of years ago about this, and I may have a tape back there on it because I don't remember if I did it down here or upstairs. But when he gave me Ezekiel, over in Ezekiel, the sins of the mother, so the daughter is like her mother, and she's walking in the sins of her mother. It's talking about cities of Jerusalem and Judah. But when you go to walking in this, addressing this as spiritual, you see that we are the spiritual Israel. And as the sins, how many times have you been told, ladies, that maybe you said to your kids, you're just like your father, or your father, the husband's like, you're just like your mother. And they say what they're saying are your ways are like them, but those sins have manifested and are coming forth in the children, and so when incest is not taken care of, and I would say everyone here is under that curse, and you say, well, no, not me. Well, you really don't know if you don't know what your mother or your grandmother or your great grandmother walked in or your great great grandmother walked in. You say, we don't know, because this is something that was never spoken of until the last few years that's been brought out in the open. But there's been so much of it, and it brings in, and you'll see as we go into this afternoon. You know, I felt like this morning was this afternoon, so I'm starting another day, I guess. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you that as we go into this, we're going to see that God intended the Father to reveal God to his children. He was supposed to show the love of God. And I'm going to show you that soul ties are formed through incest, and there's bringing forth of blood. And all of this, is, as I give you the scriptures that I hope to show you, Lord willing, as the Holy Spirit brings it to me, that this is so predominant, and it is a sacrifice to Satan. It's sacrificing to Satan, even as abortion is a sacrifice of the children to Satan. And so, if you will, we're going to pray again, and if you will, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to use a good many scriptures. I always say, it's not what I say, but it's what the Word says. And I'm going to give you the Word, and I always tell people, you should write those scriptures down so you can go back and look at it and see if this be true or not. And ask the Word to reveal truth to you over it. Because the only truth we have is the Word of God. And we need to stand upon it, and we need to judge everything by the Word. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray again. And I thank you, Father, for giving me the opportunity to share. And I ask, Father, that as we share this afternoon, that you'll open the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes, that you'll open our hearts to receive the Word, that the Word would go into good ground. And, Father, that it would bring freedom to many that have been under these curses for years. And Father, I just thank you for the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come boldly to the throne this afternoon and receive what we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. In Ephesians in chapter 6, when I started this, I did this teaching, the study on it last month, and when I started to review my study, the Lord had me go and start all over again. So he was giving me scriptures and that he wanted me to come bring forth. And so I'm going to start with this one in Ephesians, when in chapter 6 and verse 1, I better find 6 before I go there. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may livest long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as I was looking at this and doing this study, the Lord was saying, you know, a father in the household is the authority over the children, and children have to obey. And when you see this happening, this molestation and abuse of the children, girls and boys, it brings in wrath and anger in these children that they can't do anything about. And that anger and that wrath and the frustration and the shame and the rejection and then rebellion, and all of this comes when this happens to a child, because they're children. They have to obey their parents. This is what God is talking about in this word here. He said that the children are to obey their parents, and we see where the enemy has come in and brought rebellion into the children and used it to destroy our kids. And then with this incest that has been so hidden and has never been done anything about, the churches have not preached against it. They are beginning to do it, but for all these years have never preached against it and brought it to light that there was help for the people, that now God wants to, he's trying to clean up his church and prepare the bride. And there is so much hidden that we have hidden and pushed down that is coming to the surface now, that God wants us cleansed from it. And this wrath that comes in here, I have seen it come forth when I'm ministering to girls. Such hatred. And after I get through with ministering, and the individuals say, I really don't hate my mother or my father, whoever did the abuse, you know. But that hatred came in when this pain was inflicted upon them, when this happened to them. And so it's there, and it comes forth. It affects the whole life. And over in Colossians is another scripture I want to read in Colossians 3. You know, I think it's Jack Harris that preaches, comes over here, Brother Jack, and he's just a wonderful man. And he always says, you know, he said, principle of the law of the scriptures are, you'll find it in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and in the New Testament. And so this is, I'm going to give you a scripture, two in the New Testament and one in the Old. And I think I've got them all written down here. And one in Psalms, where God talks about the children. And in Colossians 3, chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul writing here, he said, of course, I could back up and say, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. I didn't read that over in Ephesians, where women are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. And men would like to take that and beat the ladies over the head with it. But I tell you, it says that the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church. Now, when the husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, you'll find women willing and eager to submit to them. And so we're obeying the word. Many people told me after my husband died, said, you're strong, you'll be okay. And I thought, oh yes, I was strong in the Lord, but my husband was with me, and he was, it's really been difficult. I'm getting my feet back on the ground good, praise God. And I found for about 2 months I had a real hard time making a decision. My kids were always telling me what to do, and I was really getting sick of my kids telling me what to do. And I was saying, Lord, what am I going to do? I am so tired, and you've got to get me back on the ground, get my feet on the ground again where I can make a decision. And he said to me, he says, I'm your husband. I'll be your husband. And he said, I'll meet every need you have. And So, and he also, and I'll tell you this, and when and my husband's been gone 3 months, and we were very close. We had for years just been the two of us. Our children were grown. We got have great-grandchildren, and they all moved, into other states. And so it was really lonely when he left. And we had been together for so, we've been there 55 years. And so when, you know, everything I did, I always talked to him first about it. And so it we had had a real good relationship. And we had had trouble waters early in our marriage. I think everybody does. Not justifying it, but it's when you're getting used to one another, learning to walk together. But, you know, he was, I didn't mind going to him and doing what he said, because he was submitted to the Lord, and he loved the Lord. And so when men begin to love us, love their wives, like Christ loved the church, I've seen my husband really get mad. You know, my husband had a temper, but you never saw it until somebody attacked me. And man, it would just really raise up. And he protected me. And so, anyways, I just say we ladies don't mind submitting to our husbands. And we want to obey the Lord, but we want them to obey the Lord too. Amen? They said here in verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And children, obey your parents. Obey your parents in all things, that it is that for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And so, those two scriptures tell us that God says for the men to train the children. It's telling them to be not to provoke the children to wrath. It tells us to tell the fathers to teach them. Go to Proverbs in chapter 22 and let's look at Proverbs. You know, I heard this for years when I was in the Baptist church in training up a child, you know, and the way he should go. He said in verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. So God is telling the father, you're to teach the children, you're to train them, you're to show them how to live, you're to show them how to walk in the things of the Lord. Is that not right? And they were actually to be an example. And that when the children saw how the fathers ministered and took care of them, they could see God in the fathers. The father is supposed to reveal God to his children. And if you know, let's go on over to Genesis in chapter 18, and let's look at Abraham. Praise the Lord. In Genesis 18 and verse 16, when we see when God was sending had sent the men to the angels to destroy Lot, Sodom. They went to Abraham, and in verse 16 said, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So here we see that God says he was going to share with Abraham what he was going to do to Sodom, because he knew that Abraham could be trusted, that he would train his children, he would teach his children the ways of the Lord. And so we see that through the scriptures that God is saying that the father is supposed to be the protector of his children. And instead of being the protector, they became the abuser. Not all of them, but you and I both know fathers. It's been fathers, grandfathers, brothers, uncles, and that have become abusers to children. And they should be the ones that God has put there to protect. I know that this one girl, her mother abused her. And she had come to her mother wanted me to pray for her. We were early in deliverance. When this happened, and the girl came to my house, and I thought her mother was going to come with her. She didn't. She sent her, And we were doing, I was sitting praying for her. She was sitting on the couch, and my husband was over in the chair, and I was on the other side of the couch, and we were just sitting there praying. And the Lord spoke to me and said, she's got to forgive her mother. And I had no idea what I was going after. The Lord revealed it to me as I was praying for her. But I said to her, and I don't even remember the girl's name, I said, honey, you're going to have to forgive your mother. And she screamed at me. I thought she was going to hit me. She said, I won't forgive her. You don't know what she's done to me. And so I said to her, went back to the scripture and said, you know, the word says that if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. And she said, I won't. And I said, what you're saying is that you don't want to. And I said, and forgiveness is an act of your will. You've got to be willing. God's given you a will. You can forgive her if you want to, if you are willing to do it. And she says, I can't do it. And I said, Lord, you minister to her. And the Lord said to me, showed me, said, ask her, is she willing for me to forgive through her if she can't do it? She was so hurt and so bruised that she could not forgive her mother. She would even try to pray, and she couldn't. And I said, when I said this to her, I said, honey, are you willing to let God forgive through you? And she said, yes. She said, I don't want to live like this. And so I prayed a prayer with her and asked the Lord, to forgive through her. And after she did this, and we did some deliverance, went after unforgiveness on her, I said to her, now, are you willing to forgive her? And she said, yes, and I can. And she said, Father, I forgive my mother for how she treated me, the things she did to me. And she got a lot of deliverance, but it all began with her forgiving the abuser. And I found this with women many times, that it's very hard for them to forgive them. But, you know, if you stop and think about what unforgiveness does, I'm not going to teach on unforgiveness, but I want to share this with you because the Lord has shown this to me a long time ago, that when you do not forgive, when a person says, I won't forgive, they're binding themselves to the person that has hurt them. They bind themselves to them because that spirit binds them. It binds them to the person, and it binds God where God can't work in that person. And then it's three ways it binds, and it binds the Father where God where He can't work, and the person that's been hurt. So the person that won't forgive is bound to the person that doesn't hurt them, and then God cannot work in the person. See, what I find when people when you tell people they've got to forgive to receive, it's like telling them that it was okay, what was done to me was okay. But that's not what forgiveness is. It's freeing the person that was hurt. It's freeing the abuser so God can work. And it is so hard sometimes to get a person that's been abused to understand that what they did was what the person did to them was wrong. It was very wrong. But unless they can forgive them, they do not free that themselves from that individual and where God can work in them, nor in the person that did it. And so it doesn't say it's right. And you know, I've seen this many, many times when I minister to girls that have been abused, that after they've had deliverance from these spirits, and there's many spirits come in at this time, they come in and they take over. There's lots of spirits come in. You've got to get them out. But once you get them out, the person that has been abused can go back to that abuser and tell them, I forgive you for what you did. I love you. Even if it's a father, they go back and they can love that father. Where they had hatred in there before. But once they are freed from that spirit of abuse, they go back and they love that father. And they God just does such a work in the individual. It's just so tremendous to watch it. But I have also met people that won't forgive. They say they do with their mouth, but they hold on to it in here. And as long as they hold on to it in here, they cannot get free from that spirit. And it just makes their life miserable. I've dealt with a lady with that also, and she'll tell me she wants me to pray for her, and I won't pray for her anymore. I told her the last time, I said, you'll never be free until you're willing to loosen and let it go. Mm-hmm. And I've prayed for her quite a bit, and I told her, I said, when you are willing to turn it loose And to be, and you want to be free. I said, you know, what I'm seeing in you today is that you really don't want to be free from this. And I can't imagine anybody being that way, but it's sometimes that you really have to get kind of rough with people to get them to hear. And I can get rough if I have to. I've taken so much abuse from demons that I know that I'm dealing with spirits to start with. And, when, you know, the Word tells us we're not fighting flesh and blood. You've got to remember that the person that did the abusing probably was abused themselves. And they're just transferring down the line what they walked in. I think, okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift Dylan up to you and we break the power of that enemy over him in Jesus' name. We command the devil to loosen him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we stand for that little boy in the name of Jesus. We loose healing to him. You said in your word, you sent your word and healed them of their diseases and delivered them from destruction. And you said that your word would not return void, but would accomplish wherever you send it, wherever you please. And Lord, we know no word from you is, there is no word that's void of power, that it's power in your word. So we thank you for healing him. We break every curse that's been loosed upon that child in the name of Jesus. And we loose healing to every part of his body in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Now, let's go over to Genesis in chapter 19. And let's look at the first case of incest that we see. You know, alcohol has a lot to do with this. You go back to Noah over when Noah drank wine and his sons, Ham, you know, came in and found him. And we see... When I go, most every time when I go after incest, I go after the curse of alcoholism and addiction to alcohol, drunkenness and lewdness, nakedness, the spirit of nakedness, and all of this that are under this where a person... Do you wonder why we're seeing so much nakedness now in the world? Oh, summer is horrible. TV's horrible. Amen. The less clothes they wear, the better they like it. And you look at them and you think, Lord, I know where that's coming from. Somebody's got to help them. They don't want it. They think they don't, but they do. They're crying for help. You know, when the more people do the things they do, they're drawing attention to themselves. They're crying out for help. And people look at them and think, oh, how horrible. Well, it is horrible. But the thing is, you've got to look beyond what you're seeing and see that there's a cry for help. And start praying when you see this that God will send somebody to them that will deliver them and show them that they can be free and walk in peace. You know, God has given us, the Word says over in 2 Timothy, God's not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of sound mind. And so we need to loose love upon them and loose God's peace. And a perfect peace. And there's just so many things that, you know, I was telling the ladies this morning, we do a lot of binding, but we do very little bit of loosening. And we need, when we bind the spirit, we need to loose something of God's in there. That we're binding the devil's power and this evil spirits, but we need to loose God's power and God's spirit. He's given us the name of Jesus, which is above every name. Over in Philippians, he says, and God has given him a name which exalted above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And I use this so much when I'm praying. And for years, I had felt pain, and we'd go after witchcraft and say, you know, when it'd come upon people, and the Lord said, cast out a spirit of pain. It's a name. Cast it out. And people say, well, if you can't cast it out, bind it. That's what I was doing this morning, yesterday morning, was binding pain. And then after I bound it up real good, I said, you come now for me in the name of Jesus. You know, you do deliverance on yourself. But everything that has a name, I'm going to take a side trip. Over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, where it says, Paul's writing says, casting down imaginations and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The Lord spoke to me one morning, I was reading that, and he said, cast out those thoughts. You know, we cast them down, we bind them. He said, cast them out. And I said, ooh, I like that. Why bind them? They get loose and come back and torment again. So when the Lord speaks to me, I work on me. And so I was having a lot of painful thoughts. And so I began to, I had broken a soul tie between me and my husband, an evil soul tie. And I had called off this person, spirit of death. He died at home. I thank the Lord. Lord just blessed. I mean, it hurt so bad when he died because we lost him. But he went to be with the Lord, and he died. I'll just tell you, I told some of you, he died of cancer of the lungs. And he's 76 years old, and he was still working when he got sick. He still had a job and besides our church. And when he got sick, and the Lord spoke to me and told me that he wasn't going to come off of this. And I rebuked the devil and everything. You know, I thought it was the devil. But he told me to learn to do things for myself because I'd always had my husband to do it. So we began to pray. Jim knew, and we prayed, and we sought the Lord. And I had prayed that the Lord wouldn't let him suffer. And he went in and had surgery. He had to have surgery. They were going to scrape his lungs, and they took a rib out. And they said, but he'll have excruciating pain. And I looked at the doctor. The doctor's sitting there telling me this. And I said, no, he's not going to have pain. God's going to take care of him. I said, the Lord says that everything has a name, bows to the name of Jesus. And he said, but you don't understand. This is tremendous surgery. He will have lots of pain. And they even put a thing in his neck. They were going to give him medication. He came out of surgery. And they didn't know what to think. They said, you know, they were going to give him all this. He said, I don't hurt. I don't want that medicine. And God took care of it. He didn't have any pain. And up until the very end, he didn't have pain. My son works in the hospital. He's a head of a catheterization lab that does heart stuff and has dealt with this. He's a man of faith. He came to me and he said, Mother, I don't want you to be a dad when he goes. He said, you don't want to be there. It would be terrible. I said, no. I said, the Lord's taking care of it. And we had bound the pain. We broke the curse of the doctor's words. We went against everything they were saying. And the doctors would look, and they'd come in there and look at him in the hospital, and they'd think, you know, you need this. And he said, no, I don't. And they gave him some pain medicine. I'll tell you this. When he came out of surgery, he groaned one time when he was in the recovery room, and he liked to die. They gave him a shot, and he liked to kill him. He wasn't even in pain, and then it took 2 days to get over that shot. But they never did give him anything else because he wasn't hurting, but God took care of it. And my point is that we have authority. And the doctor said, but it's telling me, well, he'll have to have it. And I said, I'll tell you this. The word says he won't. I said, I won't stand in his way. I said, if he needs it, he'll get it. But he's not going to need it. And he kept telling me, you just don't understand. I said, you don't understand either. I tell you. And do you know that I got a letter from that man after my husband left? And he said, I want to tell you. It was a privilege to tend to your husband. He said, you two. He said, you were a blessing to me. He said, your faith was tremendous. And he said, I just want to tell you. He said, I was blessed every time you came down here. And we were just talking. I mean, we were just being ourselves because we were believing the Lord. I told him after all this was over, when he told me what he had, I said, well, doctor, my husband came and y'all did the best you could. I said, he did what he decided to do. It wasn't my decision, it was his. And I didn't tell the doctor it wasn't my decision, it was Jim's, but it was Jim's decision. And I said, now we trust in the Lord. We were trusting the Lord when we came down here, but we felt like, I tell you, I really believe my husband went to keep his kids from shooting me. They would blame me for it. I really believe that because they know that I won't go to a doctor. My son, I had the flu, and my son called me the other day, and he said, aren't you over that yet? And I said, yeah. I said, I still got horses, but I said, I'm over it fine. Mother, what did you take? Did you take some medicine? I said, yes, 3 times a day. The word. Oh, thank you. I said, you still don't believe I don't take medicine. I said, son, I don't care what you believe in. I haven't been to a doctor since 1970. I said, I made a decision a long time ago that if God couldn't heal me when I got sick, then I, you know, man can't do it. Man can't do it. And I'll tell you something while I'm on this. There's so many side effects to medicine, I'd be afraid to take it and kill you with medicine. They will. They will absolutely. Listen to what they say about it. And I'm telling you, I would be fearful to go to a doctor. I would. I'd be afraid because I know the devil would love it. I'll tell you this, and then I'm going to get back to this. Several years ago, I came over here and taught on the soul. When I first began to teach on the soul and soul ties, man, I got under such an attack you wouldn't believe. And I knew I was on the right track when the devil hits you like that. I couldn't walk. And I woke up one morning just in excruciating pain in my back, and I could not walk. The pain was so bad, my husband helped me from the bedroom to the den. It took me 30 minutes to go through two rooms because I was screaming the name of Jesus. I was saying the name of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And they did deliverance on me, and it took a couple of days. See, our problem is when we trust in the Lord, believe in the Lord, we give up too soon. And pain is hard to deal with. I mean, it hurts. And I couldn't walk. And I don't know whether it was Charlotte called me and said she's coming over to see me. And I said, I can't open the door. I can't get to the door, girl. And I was in such pain, I couldn't walk. But they came in to deliver on me. And I just kept rebuking it. And as they would work on me at night and in the daytime, I was at home by myself. My husband was at work. And I just said, Lord, it's me and you, and it's yours rough. But we're coming through this because you said I'm an overcomer. And my husband came in one night, and he said, it went on for a while, and he said, I know it's no point in asking you, but do you want me to take you to a doctor? And I said, what for? I'm not going to a doctor. And it left just like it came, as they did deliverance on me. And so what my whole point in this is, what do you believe in for the Lord? Believe in the Lord to do. And if you want to be delivered, if you've been involved in incest or anything that the enemy might have attacked you with, today's the time to get rid of it. But God healed me from not being able to walk, and whatever it was, I'll tell you what we went after was witchcraft. We always go after witchcraft, and any time a kind of sickness hits, I always go after witchcraft. I know a lot of people may not believe that it comes from it, but it does. The enemy wants to destroy you and destroy us in any way he can, and the Satanists and the witches loose curses on you. If you're doing anything against the devil knows about it, and so do the people that serve him. And they'll send anyone they can to attack you in any way. They don't have to come into your house, but they can, no, I don't want to get onto that, but they can come in your yard and bury stuff and all this stuff on you, and you have to be alert. You say, well, then I'd be thinking on the devil all the time. No, it just keeps you close to the Lord. You just keep saying, Lord, help, Lord, show me, Lord. I mean, you go around through the house saying, Lord, show me this and show me that. And he does. You see, it keeps you centered on Jesus because you're fighting the enemy. And now what God is wanting us to do is get free from all this stuff so we can, as I said this morning, get off of ourselves and go into the heavens and do the warfare. Okay, that's. Finish up this. Where was I? I was going to Lot when in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 30, and Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, and he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger one, our father is old, and there is not a man on in the earth to come in unto us after the men of all men. I thought about Lot had offered his daughters over in the early part of this when the men of Sodom wanted the two angels. I always had a problem with Lot. Over in Hebrews, it's called him a just man, a righteous man, but I had trouble with Lot because I thought no father would do that, but he did. He offered his daughters to them and said, leave these men alone. They're guests in my house or whatever he said. That's my interpretation of it. And he said, and verse 32 says, and come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she, laid down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with children by their father. The Lord spoke to me as I was reading that, and he said, this right here is where girls, when they're molested, feel that they're to blame. The girls did this. They got their fathers to drink wine. He said, and they made their fathers drink that wine, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. And many of the girls, or the people I have ministered to, have felt like it was their fault. And that as you look at this, so maybe we need to break the curse from Lot's daughters off of the girls, off of people we're ministering to. And when you're ministering to someone, you need to ask the Lord about that. Because so many times, that's why they feel guilty. That's why they feel so dirty. They feel like it was something they did that caused this to happen to them. Amen? Okay, and over in... I touched on that scripture over there when verse 5 of chapter 19 said, and they called unto Lot the men of the city and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them. I want to show you why I'm reading this scripture. I'm going to tell you when I read this. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. I was ministering in the church one night, and I was talking on transference of spirits. And afterwards I was thinking on some of the things that the Lord had given me. But when I was reading this scripture, the Lord began to show me that the spirits from Sodom transferred to Lot. See it?
Yeah.
As they lived there, this homosexuality and all that was going on there transferred to him. And this should be, you say, well, you know, how do spirits transfer? I'm going to say this, and y'all can get mad at me if you want to. I don't care. But anyways, I do. I will cast anger if you get mad. I don't like holding hands to pray because spirits transfer. And I tell this a lot over here when I'm teaching. And I tell the ladies this morning, I said, I don't want you laying hands on someone I'm praying for. Put your hand out. And I didn't go on and say this, but if you have the same spirit in you that we're going to cast out of someone, if you put your hand on that individual, you just gave aid to the demon that we're trying to get out. And so keep your hands off of people. I offend people sometimes when I'm praying. I don't mean to. But, you know, deliverance is not easy. And sometimes we laugh about what happened after it's over. It may be funny after it's over. But, man, when you're doing it, it's hard work.
That's right.
And so when you have worked to get a spirit out and someone walks up innocently, they don't mean to do it. But put their hands on that individual and you lose it and you don't get it out. All that work you just did was done for nothing. And so this is why I will say, remove your hand, and I'll go back later. Try to remember to go back later and say, I'm sorry, I did not mean to offend you. Now I can explain why I didn't want you to put your hands on them. But when you're holding hands with people, you may be just serving the Lord and walking, and you're okay. You know, you haven't done it, got any sin in your life today, and no doors open, maybe you're doing okay. But you don't know what about this person over here and this one over here. You don't know. You only know what you see. So my point is, the Word says, and I think it comes from Matthew 18:18, where it says, where two agree is touching anything, it shall be done to them, so they feel like we've got to touch. Well, I feel like God's saying, hey, a touch spiritually, a touch and agree on the Word, what the Word says. It doesn't mean I've got to touch you or you've got to touch me. Paul said, lay hands on no man suddenly. And we know that in the Old Testament that Moses transferred the anointing to Joshua by the laying on of hands. It's transfer by the laying on of hands. If whether it be God's spirit or the devil's spirit. The devil counterfeits everything God has given us. And so it's no big deal with him to say, hey, let's send one of them. We don't want that thing out of that individual. Let's give them some aid, and they'll send somebody else. And the person's being used, and they want to help, but they'll help in the wrong way. So that didn't cost you a thing. But I tell you what, spirits transfer. And if you'll read this story with Lot, you can see it here in the first part of the chapter. You can see plainly that Lot had been walking with Abraham. And he sat in the gates. He was the scripture says in Hebrews, he was a just man. So be careful who lays hands on you. You know? Be careful. You say, well, you're putting fear. No, I'm just saying, what does the word say? Be wise as harmless as a dove. Be a wise and know your enemy. Know who lays hands on you. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on. And there's one more verse I wanted. Okay, two more verses in Genesis 19, in verse 37. Okay, let me go back to the bottom here. And the firstborn bare son, talking about Lot's daughters, and she called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So here we see the Amorites and the Moabites were from Lot's two daughters, ancestral children that came forth. And we see this is where incest really began in the scripture of daughter and father. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. You know, over in Genesis, I may have that later, but I'm going to quote it right now. In Genesis chapter 2, when God put Adam and Eve together, man and woman, and they became one flesh. Let me find my scripture and I'll finish what I started to say. Praise the Lord. The word tells us, he said in Genesis, let me read that while I found mine so you've probably gotten it too. But in Genesis 22, chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Well now, how does man and woman become one flesh? It's through the sex act. They're bonded together. And when a virgin marries a man, there's always the breaking of the hymen that brings forth blood. I wasn't going to have any men in here, but we got men, so stop up yours. Yeah, okay. And it brings blood, okay? And over in Deuteronomy, in chapter 22, there was a token. It had to be shown. If a man accused his wife of not being a virgin when he married her, then the father would get the bed sheet and take it to him. Let's read that. I want chapter 22, verse 13. I'm trying to show you that when there is incest, there's blood brought forth, and a person is bound and joined to the father. Or the abuser. I'm saying father, but there's many that are not fathers. This might be a brother or, as I said, uncle, grand, whoever. But they're bonded to them. They become one flesh, as God said in Genesis 2:24. And they have literally cut a covenant. They brought forth blood. And that's why that it's so painful and so hard for an individual to go on with their life, and God didn't intend this. He intended for the man, the woman when she married, that she was to be a virgin, that they could be bonded together and raise up their children without it being under all these curses and all of these things that have come in through the incest. And so in verse 13 it says, if any man take a wife, in Deuteronomy 22, take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then said the father of the damsel and her mother, take and bring forth the token of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I have my daughter, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he has given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found her not a maid, yet there, these are the tokens of her virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of the city shall take the man and chastise him. Let me show you something. Let's read on. And they shall amend him in a handful of shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he has brought up an evil name upon the virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, and the token of virginity be not found, nor for the damsel, then shall they bring out the damsel to the floor of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones that she die. And God had put a curse of death on this. It could be incest, it could be rape, it could be just harlotry. But when a person goes against the word of God, they have just opened the door for a spirit of death to enter in. And you know, I wonder sometimes if some of the a cancer of female organs that women have, and men have a prostate gland, you know, prostate, if this may be because of this very act. Amen. Because it's brought, see, it is such an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. You know, there are so many things in the Old Testament that God pronounced death over. Witchcraft. He said, suffer witch not to live. And he, you know, went through the land and destroyed all of the occult that they could, because God did not want it in the land. And so here we see another area where this can bring a curse of death upon an individual. Go to Genesis chapter 4. I know I'm going a long way around, but I when I looked at this and saw this and what God really thought about it, I thought, no wonder it's such an abomination in our land today, that so much of it is going on, because this is Satan's tool to destroy the children, to destroy a family, to destroy, you know, just to really come against God's people and destroy everything about them, to keep them from serving the Lord in the area that God would have us to walk. And in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15, when this happens, there is a mark put upon, when incest is there, there is a mark put upon the forehead. He said, how do you know that? Look at this with shedding of blood. See, I did all this on the breaking of the hymen, the shedding of the blood, to show you that blood was brought forth, and God said, it's under a curse of death. That's what I just read over there in Deuteronomy. Now look at here. Cain just killed Abel, right? He shed his blood. There was bloodshed. And he said in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. What did the Lord put that on there for? Cain had killed his brother. He was jealous of him. Abel was accepted, and his offering was what Abel's was, brought to animals to sacrifice, which was the blood is supposed to be used for the covering of for the sins. And here we see he's put a mark upon Cain. You said, well, that has nothing to do with incest. Why not? The blood was shed, was it not? He killed his brother. Okay? You said, that's reasoning. This is what the Lord spoke to me about, that he said that this curse comes through, because that as that hymen is broken in a woman and the blood comes forth, there is the shedding of blood. And the word tells us over in Leviticus that that blood is to be used. It's not to be eaten. It's to be used for to cover for sin. It's Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So you see, sin began in the area of incest with the shedding of the blood. And over, let's go. I'm going to give you a scripture on the forehead, the harlot's forehead, where it comes from. A person that has been abused sexually will either get into whoredom, harlotry, or they'll be turned the other way and have nothing to do with men. Because you know why they do this? Because they're seeking the love of a father that they never had. So they will either go to every man that they can find the wrong way. They're seeking love and acceptance where they didn't receive it from their father. Jeremiah chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? See, the land, you agree that we're the land with the dirt? You know, God made us out of dirt. And so the land becomes polluted. This is a terrible thing to say, but incest brings pollution to the abuser and to the person that's abused until the Lord cleanses the land. And so the mark is put upon the land because the blood has been shed. He said, did I finish that verse? But thou hast played a... Let me start over with it. I'll back up again. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return again unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lain with. Ways hast thou set for them as their Arabians in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. When the land is polluted, there's a mark, there's an invisible mark put upon a person. The enemy sees it. You know, in the area of deliverance, when we're working on witchcraft, we run into the third eye. You can't see that third eye, but there's one there in the occult world, and the enemy sees it. And I found this, and this is a side trip. I found this when I was dealing with a medium, casting a medium out of a girl. It was protected. It was in a circle, and it had it was a star. A six-pointed star. And on each point of the star, there was a demon that was protecting the medium. And I was so smart, I didn't know anything. I knew nothing about this. I learned it all doing deliverance. And we would work, and we'd clean off all the points of the star. We'd get rid of all the protectors, which was demonic things that came in through different things in the occult or whatever. I just really don't remember how they got in. But by the time we got the 6 points cleared, we were exhausted, and we had to bind up and wait till another day. And when we'd go back to after the medium again, we'd have to do the same thing again. There was something else that come in and was sitting on the points of the star, was protecting that medium. And I just was really disgusted, and I was saying, Lord, how in the world can this happen? We bound the spirits, how? And so I thought, well, the medium was come up and was boasting we'd gotten the thing. The protectors off, and the lady that was helping me went home, and I was there praying with this girl by myself, Lord, and I was taking care of her, and I said, Lord, I really need to know. I don't want to stop. We've got all the protection off, and we want this thing out to get her free from this. And that medium was talking to me, and he said, you're so stupid. And I thought, well, I probably am, because I really don't know what I'm doing here. And I said, how'd you get protectors in there or something like that? And he said, you dumb old woman, you didn't seal up the third eye. I thought, the third eye? Well, okay, that sounds good. So I said, okay, Father, I said, I just asked you to seal that. And he told me it was an eye power. And then later I looked up some of this, and some people that had a lot more knowledge than me, and that was finding out what you do. And as I sealed that thing and cut off all of its power, that thing really screamed. And we pulled it apart, separated the star, and threw that thing out. Got the eye of power out first. Got that eye out first. And then the medium left. And I learned this, that there is an invisible, you can't see it, but that's what they called it. It was an eye that the demons were going in and out. Some of you in deliverance may have run into it, and you know what I'm talking about. But, so there is a mark. Well, let's go over to Ezekiel. I don't think that was where I want. Yeah, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 9. And Brother Glenn teaches on the mark of the intercessor. God has a mark upon you. Okay? What did I say? Satan counterfeits. everything God has, does he not? In Ezekiel chapter 9, in verse 4, he said, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof." So God has put a mark. He sealed us with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And there's a mark of the intercessor. People, I heard Brother Glenn, I'll get off on this sermon. I've heard Brother Glenn say, and it's true, that we don't want the mark of the beast. But we want the mark of God, the seal of God. Well, I got news for you. We already got the mark of the beast. It's in your mind. It's the flesh, works of the flesh. And what we're trying to do is get rid of it so we can walk in the things of the Lord. And so if God is sealing us, has sealed us.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.